Chicago's college tailgate. Shane Norman and Tyler Aggie. Shane and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN Chicago. It's been quite the season here for us on CCT as the national championship game about 72 hours away. Monday, 6:30. You can hear it right here on ESPN 1000. And Shay, can't believe it felt like the season zoomed by, but the playoff has kind of been a slow burn. I kind of like the way that it's gotten to this point where we're at right now. But Ohio State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, an 8.5-point favorite over the Fighting Irish in the game. But I don't think that really tells the story of what this game is going to be, because the way that both of these defenses have played so far throughout the playoff, it's kind of tough to say one team's about 9-10 points better than the other.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And like you mentioned, the slow burn of the playoff, I'm tired a little bit. This has felt like the season flew by when we were in it. Mm-hmm. And then because the postseason has taken so long, like think about the regular season ended the week of Thanksgiving. Yeah. And we're now going to settle a national title on Martin Luther King Day. It's been a while. And this is our season finale here on Chicago's College Tailgate. I'm excited to pivot to college basketball soon with you.
Oh, because, so you're just done with it?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just excited to be able to start hating Notre Dame again.
You're out.
They stink at basketball.
They're
it's
terrible.
It's going to be exciting.
My orange today.
The point that I'm making is, Tyler, Notre Dame fans out there who are enjoying your weekend, and you should. You're playing for the national title on Monday. But you should also be thanking us, Tyler and I.
Why is that?
We were the preeminent Notre Dame radio show in this country. I dare anyone to look outside South Bend in any major market that does college football discourse, not that there's many, and find another show that had Notre Dame in the national title
That's
game.
True.
Find one.
We did.
Go find one.
Yeah.
And I had them winning.
You did. And here we are, the game down in Atlanta on Monday, and you've got 7th-seeded Notre Dame, 8th-seeded Ohio State, and to your point, too, like you're ready to get back to hating Notre Dame. I don't know what it is about what Marcus Freeman has done.
They can't make me hate you, Marcus Freeman. They'll never make me hate you.
He must have zapped the fan base, though, too. They haven't been as annoying.
Nope.
Notre Dame fans have actually been rather pleasant.
Yeah, it's been
kind of a happy to be here
experience.
Kind of moment. And I don't know how we've gotten to the point that we are at right now. But for whatever reason, Notre Dame fans, I'm not going to say Notre Dame fans have become likable, because I don't believe that wholeheartedly, but they just haven't, they've been pleasant. I take that back too. I'm double negativing this. They haven't been unpleasant.
Do you know what it is? It's the fact that they're not cannon fodder for once. That they entered the tournament and they actually had a shot, whether they believed it or not. I mean, Tom Thayer, who calls me the Notre Dame hater, like Cap and I are Cap is yeah. just unreasonable.
He doesn't want the program to score another point in their history.
Yeah, he's unreasonable about it. I've never gone to that length. And frankly, at least I went to a school that was a rival of Notre Dame. Anyway, I digress on that point. Thayer will not stop calling me the Notre Dame hater.
Yeah.
And every
He's
time.
He's told me that you're the Notre Dame hater.
I know. And I'm the only person in the building that picked him to win the national title. And every time I text him, go Irish, after another big playoff win, he tells me, I didn't see this coming. I never thought we'd be here. And I'm like, how am I the hater? I've been spending all season.
You've been leading the train.
Telling you, you're getting here. The NIU loss, I wrote it off earlier than most people. I started saying, this team's good, man. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the tournament, and they're winning it all. They're going to the title, and they're winning it all. I believe Notre Dame fans, the Irish, they owe me a thank you.
They owe you a thank you. Yep. Okay, let's
settle down.
I've
been their banner carrier. I've been carrying the banner for people who wouldn't carry it themselves.
So you are picking Notre Dame for Monday?
Yeah, I think they can win the game. Yeah.
You think they can or you think they will?
Well, you're asking me to... I don't have a bet. Here's, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I have Ohio State to win it all. I have Notre Dame to win it all. I placed mm-hmm. both tickets right before the tournament started. I'm in a great place. I'm kicking my feet up yep. for my own profit.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame would net you more money, though, right?
Oh, yes. By more than double. Mm-hmm. I think Notre Dame's going to win. I can't shake this feeling, man, that Ryan Day is going to find a way to soil himself when he sees Lou Holtz in that building. And the toughness comments and all that stuff's going to get wrangled up in the front of Ryan Day's brain. It'll be all he's able to think about. And they'll have another game where they don't play to their strengths and they lose. Now, look, obviously they're an 8.5-point dog, 9-point dog, whatever the current line is. Mm-hmm. It would be a surprise. And if Ohio State wins, I'm not going to be surprised. But I do think Notre Dame can and will win. This idea, man, that people have that Notre Dame's walking in as some TCU-level softy that's going to get 63-7 on their skull. No, they're not that.
I feel like that, maybe I've just been looking in the wrong places, but I don't feel like that's been the narrative of what this game is going to be.
You haven't seen that?
No.
It's all I've seen.
Like, I've seen people think that Ohio State's going to win by like 10-14. That's not what TCU Georgia was. Like, that was a thorough ass whooping by almost 50 points. I feel like the way that people are talking about this game, it's going to be like 10-14 points for Ohio State. I don't think that. I think it's going to be a close game because it's going to be an ugly game. Because when you're dealing with the injuries, both teams are in the trenches. That's a recipe for disaster, especially with two quarterbacks who you got one who hasn't been throwing the ball very well, and then another in Will Howard who is kind of like hit or miss. Like, he has moments where he just rips it. Like, he had a couple throws against Texas where it was see it and just rip it across the middle on like a 15-yard dig route. And then he's got other moments where it's like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I've seen more of those than the, like, just seeds. Now, he's had a few. Like, the Oregon game, he threw a dot.
I mean, he
dot.
Could do no wrong.
He threw
game.
A dot. Like, a lot of it was guys are running wide open. Yeah. And if they're running that free, you better hit them. But the throw on the touchdown pass to Ebuka was a dot. That he'd, like, mm-hmm. put it in a spot where only Ebuka had a chance at it. Touchdown.
Yeah,
deep ball throw too. Like, that was impressive. But most of the season, here's the other thing, because I keep hearing this talk about, and look, Notre Dame obviously is more limited offensively than Ohio State. But the talk about, well, Notre Dame, they're down their right tackle and their right guard and their left tackle and left guard. They're down a tackle and a guard. Is Ohio State not?
No, that's why I think it's
going to be. They lost their left tackle.
But they've been playing shorthanded like that for much longer than Notre Dame has.
Have they? I mean, Notre Dame lost
a tackle in the Penn State game.
Yeah, but they lost their star left tackle in training camp. They've been playing on a backup tackle all year.
So now you're going to guy number three.
I get it, of course.
Against Ohio State, and you could say the same thing on the other side. Like, Notre Dame, that defense is going to get after you too. But I that's why I think it's going to be an ugly game, and I think both quarterbacks largely are going to struggle in this game. Like, it would not shock me if we see both of these quarterbacks have completion percentages like around 50%.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they both stink. Neither of them are NFLers to me. No. Not even close. Like, this isn't the good old days when we get Tua in the national title game against, you know, Deshaun Watson.
Hell, how about last year? I mean, what a hidden gem of a quarterback matchup we had last year with Penix and J.J. McCarthy.
We'll wait and see on J.J., but Penix looks pretty good so far.
From a college standpoint, too,
two first-round picks, two top 12 picks. I mean, these two guys, Leonard and Howard, they'll be lucky if they get drafted. Mm-hmm. They just they aren't that. Not to say there won't be NFL talent in this game. I mean, Ohio State's got three NFL receivers. They've got two potential first-round backs, the way this draft looks. It would not shock me if we see multiple running backs going in the first round. And I say multiple, I mean more than just a couple. Like, this is a very deep running back draft, and two of them might come out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear the name Jeremiah Love a lot. That's a next year thing. Don't start thinking about that in terms of NFL. It just, there are NFL players, not at the quarterback position.
No. And that's what make, and especially defensively, there are NFLers in this game. You're going to see a lot of those guys on Sunday. And that's what makes me think, like, this is going to be kind of a weird, it's going to have a Sunday feel. And remember, these two teams played last year in a game that was very low scoring. What was the final of that game? 17-13? And it just, it felt like a Sunday game. It felt like an NFL game because, A, there was a ton of NFL talent on the field, and B, just like the way that these two teams kind of had like the get-to-know-you process throughout the game, and then that fourth quarter, it really ramped up, and it became theater. And even though it was a low-scoring game, usually when you want an entertaining college game, you're talking about a game played in the 30s, maybe even the 40s. That's not what this is going to be. I think you will be lucky if you see one team get to 28.
Oh, I can't imagine a team gets to 28.
I cannot imagine a team gets there.
Well, look, Ohio State, so the last two times these teams played, just for example, last year was 17-14, and that was the game where Marcus Freeman didn't have 11 guys on the field on the final play. Ryan Day did some dumb stuff in that game, too. Marcus Freeman, I think, has evolved. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day, I think, can still do some pretty dumb stuff. And then 2 years ago, they played in the Horseshoe, and it was a 21-10 final, but that score's a little misleading because it was much closer than that for a long time.
It was also 2 years ago, too.
Right. I would just, look, this is going to be more of a rock fight. It just, that's the way this game's going to be. And Ohio State, as much as I liked what they did against Oregon, and it was impressive, it was really, that's the performance I needed to see out of them. What they did to Tennessee, I expected. And I didn't expect Tennessee was going to lose their star player and have issues getting anything going offensively. But I figured Ohio State was going to blow them off the field. I've been the guy saying the SEC stinks. So I saw that coming. I didn't see Ohio State beating Oregon. I saw we had them winning by 10. Mm-hmm. I don't think we saw them doing it the way they did it, where it's 34-0 at halftime. Yeah. And the game's just over before it starts.
It was over before ESPN flipped over.
But then they did the one thing that could have talked me back out of them. They went and played Texas, and they played down to their competition. They got into a weird kind of style. They didn't do the things that worked so well against Oregon, and they got a little more physical, and they let it be a game. And that worried me. Like, when the moment gets bigger for Ryan Day, he folds. He, like, tries to be the conservative smash-mouth football coach instead of grip it and rip it. That's what's worked for you. And I just, dude, Lou Holtz has wiggled deep into this dude's brain.
Yeah.
And Lou Holtz has made it clear this week he's going to be there. Like, at first, wasn't going to do it. And then he's saying the only way that Ohio State wins this game is if we decide we're going to preserve Ryan Day's job, I will be there. You don't think that's going to get in Ryan Day's head? He is proven to me, whether it's true or not, it's how I feel. He's proven to me he's a bit soft. He can be rattled by opposing coaches' words or by opposing people's words. Like, he is. And his teams are soft. Big games against the big logos, the rivals, you show up soft. Really, they did not have any business beating Notre Dame last year. They could not move the football to save their lives. It took a 10-man on the field play with like 3 seconds on the clock and Kyle McCord magic to get out of South Bend alive. When these games happen, Ryan Day folds like a lawn chair. And that's kind of why I just feel like Notre Dame tomorrow, people are underrating them. People aren't talking about how good this defense is despite losing its stars. Certainly on the pass rush. Benjamin Morrison, their lead corner, gone first week of the season. And I think people are like, the fact that this is an 8.5-point spread, what are we talking about? There's no way this can be an 8.5-point spread. And I think you got one team overrated and the other underrated.
I would agree, yeah. Like, the Ohio State stuff has gotten out of hand. I think when you look at the way and the style points, like we talk about style points, they've run through this tournament with style points so far. Now, the flip side with Notre Dame, like, I kind of get why people are underrating them. Like, the offense has not looked good at any point, really, aside from the Indiana game to open everything up. But, like, Georgia was a struggle. You scored all of your points, and some of them largely because of defensive effort and special teams effort over the course of 60 seconds in that game. Penn State, it was a struggle to move the football for a good portion of that game. And now you go up against Ohio State, which might be the best defensive test you are going to face all season long. And where is your answer offensively? This game has to be low scoring if Notre Dame is going to win. If you get into a shootout, they ain't winning.
Ohio State scores 20 points, you lose the game. It's kind of how I feel. Like, they have to keep this a rock fight. Mm-hmm. They can't let OSU win the race to 20.
I would probably agree with that. Yeah, like, I just don't know. Like, my cap on how many points Notre Dame can score in this game, like, maximum 24. Like, I'm talking about the highest of ceilings for them. I will be floored if they get above 24 points. I just can't see it happening.
Will Howard's good for a pick six. They're going to need it. They'll need defensive scores if they're going to get on the board and get this north of 24.
Yep.
And we'll see. Can they get that out of Will Howard? Can they get him to throw one away and run it into the end zone? Wouldn't shock me. Would it shock you?
No.
Problem. Riley Leonard's good for the same thing.
He could do the same thing. Like, I think Riley Leonard's largely gotten lucky. Like, there's been a lot of balls that have been thrown the way of defenders that have not been intercepted with Riley Leonard. Like, he has not looked good. And for a guy who I thought coming into this year was going to play himself into being, like, maybe a top 10 guy, far from it. Far, far from it.
It's really confusing when you watch him, too, because he'll have, like, he had a throw down the sideline to Jaden Greathouse against Penn State that was really impressive, delivered a dot. He had a couple moments after the Steven Angeli kid came in where he came back out and it looked like he was starting to spin the ball. But then he'll have throws where just you go, what are you doing? I mean, the interception he threw against Penn State was just abhorrent. It was as bad as Jordan Love to Zach Bond last weekend. It was just like, what? Are you blindfolded? How do you not see that there's a linebacker cheating down on this route? In fact, it wasn't even a linebacker cheating down. It was a defensive end dropping into coverage. Mm-hmm. And Riley Leonard's like, oh, here you go, lollipop.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered at quarterback. And I feel a little bit better about Will Howard than I do Riley Leonard, but it's not by much. And to be honest, the Will Howard factor, probably more of a result of the fact that you've got better receivers to work with.
100%.
Than Riley Leonard does. And, boy, like, there are some studs in this Ohio State receiving room. If you just can somehow find ways, if Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, can find ways to get some of those guys in space, this game could be over real quick. I think we're going to know how this game exactly plays out by the end of the first quarter. Because if Ohio State is just running and gunning and connecting on some deep balls, like, this thing's over. Notre Dame is not going to be able to go shot for shot with you. Because their running game, dirty little secret on them, as much as it has been built up over the course of this playoff, the run game has not really been very good outside of a 98-yard run against Indiana. Because after that, if you pull that run out of the equation, they're averaging 3.3 yards a carry.
I wonder how Jeremiah Love's doing. Because one thing about this playoff that I've noticed, he hasn't been on the field as much. And in the season, he's ran a lot. I mean, this guy, next year, he's going to be top 2-round pick in the NFL. He's outstanding. Mm-hmm. But he battled a knee injury, played through it most of this playoffs. He was wearing the brace against Penn State. He had a sickness, said every time he was standing up, he felt like he was going to pass out, faint, but he wanted to play through it. How healthy is he going to be on Monday night?
Well, because
that can change your
now.
Run game. Yeah. Yeah.
You've had a week and a half, which I always kind of, I hate this little in-between between the NFL conference championship to Super Bowl. 2 weeks has always felt like a lot to me. And then in this, you get a week and a half between your semifinal game and the championship. And yes, I want to see the best version of each team out there. But for me, as selfishly someone who wants to watch the football game, it's like, all right, can we get this thing going? Can we have this thing here? Like, I would love for them to play tonight. but that's not the world we live in.
I was actually thinking that, too, with the lack of football in the week this week, which was the first time I really felt it, like, okay.
Felt the void? It hit you?
Yeah, like Thursday came around, and I was like, ugh, there's nothing on tonight, is there? There's no ball.
Last week, I get that the NFL playoff games largely weren't great, but the Thursday through Monday,
it was beautiful.
One of the best stretches of like high stakes football you will find. You're not going to find a better one.
Yeah, this week there was nothing on Thursday night. No college, no pro. As far as football, there was other stuff, but like football, nothing on. And I felt that emptiness. And I woke up yesterday morning, and I'm like, "There's no reason they can't play this game Friday night or Saturday night. Why do we got to wait till Monday?" And I get you're maximizing TV ratings and dollars and all that stuff, but why not tonight? Oh, NFL playoffs are on. Duh. Like, come on.
Why not Friday?
Play it at noon. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Can you imagine the college football national title game at noon on a Saturday? But last night they totally could have played. Now, I have a feeling we'll get to Tuesday and go, damn, was that a good three-day stretch of football?
Yeah, we could. And like, the NFL is going to be great. We'll get you NFL picks later on in the show and also our official plays for the national championship. But, yeah, like, this three-day stretch is awesome, but it ain't the 5 days that we had last week.
Yeah, but the games will be better. Like, here's my thing. Divisional round for me is always the best weekend of the year in the NFL. It is, because like you get four games. It's the final eight teams.
Yeah,
the point spreads might look wacky this year, but
it's eight teams that belong.
This is where the cream rises. Like wild card weekend, you're going to get teams that just are happy to be there. Shout out Green Bay. Like this weekend every year, and I always think back the 2022 divisional where every game was a walk-off field goal.
Yeah.
That was one of the great weekends in football history. I mean, it was unbelievable. And that can only happen in divisional weekends. So now that we have this weekend and we tack on the Natty on Monday night, yeah, I'm into it. I think this is great. Last weekend for me, the college games were good. Notre Dame, Penn State was really fun, actually. And then Texas, Ohio State was kind of a bore in a rock fight, but it was
close late.
It was close late. You got to see Sark do the dumbest thing imaginable and run toss left on the 1 yard line, lose 8 yards. Like, it was theater for the college playoff. The NFL was mostly garbage, just in terms of competitiveness. Yeah, Bucks and Commanders, that was the only game that was watchable into the fourth quarter. The rest. And not that, like, oh, I'm turning it off because it's a blowout when I say watchable, but casual fan who's got stuff to do on a Saturday when it's 31-7 Buffalo, I'm going to go run an errand really quick before the next game starts. And then the next game starts, and it's a blowout. Like, it just, for me, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze last weekend, and I think I'm more excited about what we have in these next 3 days.
Maybe I just have ground beef for a brain. But I would rather take
more football, more better.
The 5 days where like the average out level of game is meh, but there it's high stakes football. 5 days of that than the 3 days that we have here.
Where I'd take this every time. But you and I are different people fundamentally.
We are.
I'm a less is more guy.
You are.
Yes. I am. Yeah. I just.
I'm a volume shooter.
Like whenever we get into that great debate, you don't want more football? If there's more football, it's better. You love football. It's all you do, dude. Why do you not want more of it? No, I need to miss it. Football's special. Dude, right now, I am running on fumes. Like, you get to the end of football season, and you do what we do, and I get, like, Tyler and I aren't digging ditches for a living. We're not out paving roads, and we're not working in the weather or doing anything like that. But when you do this for a living, your life from the first weekend of September till the Super Bowl is football. And when you get to the end of that run, I'm running on fumes right now. My tank is almost out on football. And I will miss it from the Super Bowl until about June. And then I'm going to start getting hyped for it again. And I need that time away from it. I need it.
You're ready for baseball, aren't you?
I'm so ready.
Why don't we just cancel the season?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, obviously, I'm excited for the playoffs, but I am. The other day it hit me. I said, baseball's coming back, bro. I can feel it.
Oh, you got a whiff. You saw Cubs convention on the television and said, all right. All right.
It certainly wasn't Cubs convention that inspired me to feel that
way. Sammy's back.
There was a moment. I said, pitchers and catchers report soon. I'm starting to feel something.
Well, Andy, you've got
six to midnight.
You've got a college basketball team worth watching, too.
Dude, I can't believe the luck I have this year. I mean, come on.
Michigan sports in general, I mean, all right, we're coming
back.
Off. Last year, you win a national title in football, albeit not the team that you root for, but I'm talking about the state as a whole. The Lions, great season last year, Super Bowl favorites this year right now. You have the Tigers, miracle run to get into the playoffs. I don't check on the NBA very much here, but
Pistons are getting hot.
And I heard Brendan Riley, who works with us here at the station, he's doing the double dip tomorrow night. He's going Pistons game straight to the Lions game after. And it sounds like a lot of Detroiters are doing that.
Yeah, the stadiums are right next to each other, so it's very easy.
And then you got Michigan State basketball this year.
Yeah, I think that the state should be unselfish and send some of that goodwill this away, because just for work purposes, I'd like the teams here to be good.
Yeah.
Mother of God. Like, what tax did Chicago have to pay to give good sports to Michigan?
That's what happens when you
ridiculous.
Have Jordan. You have a decade of dominance with Jordan, and this is how you're repaid. You're paying the tax down the line now.
On the topic of Michigan State basketball, they're clear of Kansas, Potsy. We're clear.
Michigan State?
We're clear.
We beat you guys like a month ago on a neutral floor.
That was a different time. That was not a month ago either. Jesus.
What was it, like two
months
ago?
What's going on with your mental clock?
Yeah,
that was a different time. We were still shooting 25 threes a night.
Spartans are good.
I actually, so it's funny because
you guys are 12th, right? 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be higher than that when the rankings come out next week.
Probably past Kansas.
I think so, because we're clear. Next, last year when we were preseason number 4, of course I was served up crushing disappointment.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
I wanted Tom Izzo professionally dead. Like, please walk away, dude. I'm done with this. I was so furious. This year, the season starts. They didn't do... I almost said a bad word. They didn't do anything in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. They outside of Fiddler, but they could have. They had a chance. Like, they didn't even talk to what's his face, Kobe from Dayton.
Kobe Brea.
Didn't even speak to him. Didn't call him. Every school in the country got on the phone with him. Izzo's
they show the list. It's like 50 schools.
Yeah, and Izzo's not on. He's like, we're good. We don't need him. Oh, okay. And then, of course, the year that they're preseason unranked with no hype and they're picked like bottom third of the Big Ten, they go 6-0 in conference to start the season. They've won 10 straight games. They feel like they're going to beat Illinois on Sunday morning.
They will.
Like,
yeah.
Everything's just coming up roses. This is classic Izzo. You get the hype, you deliver me a plate of poop, and you have no hype, and you just make me happy.
They're a weird team.
It's bizarre. It's annoying, but I'll take it. It's the first time in like half a decade I've been really excited about this team.
Big Ten's also pretty soft, too.
So it sucks.
So you got that going for
you. And we haven't played any of the good teams in it yet. But don't
Illinois tomorrow will be good.
Don't let facts get in the way of my narrative.
Oh, I can't wait till New Mexico bounces you in a 12-5.
Dude, if you want to see you... I wouldn't be mad if you stopped breathing right now. I wouldn't be angry.
That's how this season works for you.
Yeah,
you're
going to
have momentum and hype going in the
because
tournament.
Because usually,
don't get me wrong.
Usually, it would be me like, "Oh, this is fun," but I can't wait until UNLV knocks us out. But the fact that you're doing it, and you didn't even go like, Cuse is going to get on a miracle run, and we're going to not. You're like, New Mexico is going to take you out in the 12-5. What do you want? If you got hit by a bus walking out of this building, I'd probably chuckle after that shot. Come on.
Maybe it'll be Kansas in 12-5. You gassing up the car for Dayton, Potsy?
First four.
I don't even know the last time KU's been a 5 seed. Like, that was...
Who said 5
seed?
You're the 12th.
I said gas up the car for Dayton.
Okay. Uh-huh. Funny. We'll see. I'm looking at the Sparty schedule right now, Shay. Dude, I don't know when they're going to lose a game.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy.
They run a bit of a gauntlet in February. Come
on. Dude, no, I don't think so. They play on the road with Michigan. All their big games are at home. All of them. You split with Illinois.
Potsy just sparked a 3-5 February for you. Congrats.
Yeah, we're not beating Illinois anymore.
You'll split. You'll split with Illinois.
It's not happening anymore. Boys, actually, I sent this to the chat last night. Nobody responded. February 21st, if anyone would like to go to Ann Arbor with me, I may...
Michigan and who?
Michigan State in Ann Arbor.
Ooh.
February 21st. It's Friday night.
Last game of the year, right?
Yeah. If anybody would like to make the trek to Ann Arbor.
Could be talked into that.
Villain energy. I'm going to be in Utah for the regular season finale skiing against Michigan. Otherwise, I'd go to East Lansing. But since I can't, if anybody would like to be a villain in Ann Arbor, the offer's out there.
I got to say, going into enemy territory, so fun.
It's
I love
great.
It.
I've
One of my never have favorite done it things. Ever. You've never done it for anything?
Not for Kansas, no.
But any sport?
Like, yeah, bowls a couple times, but Blackhawks maybe once, twice.
Where'd you go for a Bulls game?
Oh, where was I for a Bulls game? It was Memphis once with my buddy, Grizzlies versus Bulls.
That's not enemy territory.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Bulls' enemy territory, so I don't know what you want from me. And yeah, I don't know, somewhere else maybe. Cavs, I think, once back in the day.
Okay, Cavs counts.
Yeah.
Cavs counts.
Never for KU, though, and that would be the real enemy territory. It would be going to, like, Manhattan or something. Like,
yeah, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. I would...
Wouldn't that be a fun bit? Just like villain tripping?
Just sending like Shea solo. Just okay, Ann Arbor.
Dude, I did it for game 5 of the division series last year. I went to Cleveland
did
and
you?
It was a disaster. But when we were up 1-0, I was being a bit of a douche. I may have cursed the team in that moment. I had a woman say I was drinking too much, man. And I had a woman behind me. I was like shouting. We're getting a chant going. And I turn around. And this guy's like, dude, relax. And I go, dude, relax. And this woman behind me goes, do you know where you are?
I did Cubs Cardinals down in St. Louis.
That'd be a good one.
That was a fun one. People very nice there. Cubs won. Listen, if the Cubs won, maybe I had danger coming my way. I don't know. I did Cubs Yankees. That was a lot of fun because those fans are bleep holes. But yeah, no, like the road trip energy, like when you're going into enemy territory, you walk around with like a little bit of a pep in your step and just hope your team doesn't get their you know what's shoved in.
Ann Arbor, February 21st.
All right. I might be able to be talked into that.
We're going to welcome Dusty May to the Big Ten.
At home?
Yeah. Guy's talking about how he thinks he understands the rivalry. Yeah, we know Michigan State's tied with us in first place.
Someone who doesn't understand the Big Ten, Mick Cronin. Boy, he is crashing out.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
He is donezo.
Which is tough. I like Mick Cronin.
I do too. But I will say there is something about seeing him just absolutely spiral out of control right now that's bringing a little warmth to my heart. I think I'm going to go. UCLA comes to Northwestern in March.
You went to the game.
I went. Yeah.
The other day.
Thursday night.
Unbelievable game you went to.
Maryland and Northwestern. So, Nick Martinelli, I went to high school with his brother Jimmy, and whole family, very talented basketball players, but like each one kept getting better. We thought Jimmy was insane. Then his next brother, Dom, walked on at Northwestern. We're like, wow, that's crazy. And then he transfers to St. Thomas, which goes D1. And then now his next brother, Nick, second in scoring in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he's really good.
He hit a buzzer beater at the end of the first half to give him the lead at the end of the first half. Hits a buzzer beater in overtime to win the game, and we're going crazy there. Like, this is a guy who we didn't walk the same halls as this guy because he was, like, 6 years younger than us, but it's just crazy, like, full circle to see, like, a guy that I went to high school with and see his brother hit a game winner over a future NBA first rounder.
I've never been to Welsh Ryan, but I've heard it's a
tremendous
great environment.
It's, you know what, we were sitting there and it hit a certain point and we're like kind of loud in here. Like we couldn't really talk to each other. It was that loud.
Now, and dude, they got the taste for blood when they knocked off Purdue last year when they were number 1. So that place might have a little bit of a now Michigan State went in there and punched them in the head repeatedly.
Yeah.
Because we clear Kansas.
But yeah.
I hope we see you guys again. Just somewhere. Sweet 16 or something.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Okay. If somehow both of your teams spiral, we're going to Dayton.
Listen, buddy, I'm not going to Dayton.
Yeah, you are.
I'm pretty confident.
Lock it in.
I'm not going to Dayton.
But if you are going to Dayton, you're going to Dayton.
We're 15-2. We're not going to Dayton.
So what?
We'd be stunning.
Potsy just cursed your February.
Dude, if they go from where they're at right now to Dayton, I will be back on the train of Fire Izzo. I'll be right back on it.
15-2.
I'll be right back on it.
Who'd you guys lose to?
All right, that's enough. We got to take a break. We're really late.
All right, when we come back, Shay's got some props for us for the national championship, so we'll parse through those when we come back. It's Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Twin Peaks.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's College Tailgate. Now back to the show with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Twin Peaks. We're with you every Saturday throughout the college football season, and it is coming to a close. This is the final game of the year coming up on Monday, the national championship, Notre Dame, Ohio State. And Shay, you've got some props for us to parse through here.
I've created some novelty props.
Love
We're
it.
All going to play. Potsy, can you give me a little...
Here, I got you.
This is perfect. This is exactly what we needed.
Whoa.
We've got novelty props. I've created all of these. These are not bettable lines. We're going to have a little fun.
We're going to Shay's Prop Shop.
We're going to have a Shay's Prop Shop's good. Oh, come on. I didn't even realize what song
I knew
this
I
was.
Him. I got him, Potsy.
Oh.
I thought he turned for a second, but I wanted to wait it out a little.
This song's terrible. How does the start of it work so well, and then we get into
you
the chorus?
It's a good song.
Big time Saturday night. God, I hate this.
Good stuff.
All right, let's get into it. All right. Higher or lower? Jeremiah Smith receiving yards or Jeremiah Love rushing yards in a Jeremiah battle?
Oh, I like where this is going. I like this.
I'm going to go with the guy who is much healthier. Even though maybe has the stingier defensive matchup, I'm going to go Jeremiah Smith.
I'm also going Jeremiah Smith.
I'm going to go Jeremiah Love because there's something about this just reeks of like 48 yards for Jeremiah Smith. I don't know what it is.
I need him for my MVP, offensive MVP of the championship.
So you need more than 48 yards.
I need more than 48. Unless he scores two touchdowns and it's like 17-14.
Higher or lower? Total touchdowns scored in the national title or total turnovers?
Ooh.
I'm going turnovers.
Potsy's on the board.
Are we including turnover on downs? That counts as a turnover?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Turnovers.
I'll go turnovers then. Yeah.
I will also go turnovers. We all feel the same. This is a rock fight. I think if you feel that way, you bet the under just for... You know, if you actually want to make real bets on this game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going turnovers as well. All right, this is a simple one. Easy from a market. Will Howard passing yards over or under 235.5?
Slam it. Under.
Oh, I don't know what to do, dude. I'll go over. I'll go over.
Potsy loves
to air
it out.
Yeah, it's going to be a big play that helps him do that.
Potsy wants to see that white stripe spinning.
If that number goes over, it's a long night for Notre Dame.
Yeah, oh, definitely. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
They cover if that hits.
I think it's an under because I think that's the way Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are going to coach this game. I do feel like they're going to try to go physical. It might not cost them the way it cost them against Michigan. It's just I think that's what it's going to be.
I don't know if you also have this in there, too. Do you have Riley Leonard's over-under?
We've got some Riley Leonard stuff coming. Higher or lower? Ohio State receiving touchdowns or Ohio State rushing touchdowns?
Probably rushing. I feel like you're going to see Ryan Day and Chip Kelly. They're going to get into like the red zone and say, all right, we're not turning this ball over here. We're going to try to just punch it in. And it may not work. You may see a lot of settle for threes. But I'm going to go with rushing touchdowns.
I'll go receiving. I bet two receiving touchdowns, one rushing touchdown.
I'm going to go rushing. I feel the way you feel. They'll get down close. Mm-hmm. They're going to run with Judkins. Will Howard. Chip Kelly has done the Will Howard rush
game. Lou Holtz is going to be doing the Pat McAfee end zone cast there. He's going to see Lou Holtz in the end zone and be like, we're going to hammer this MF-er in.
We got to run the ball. Pound the rock. All right. Higher or lower? Riley Leonard passing yards or Saquon Barkley rushing yards against the Rams?
I like this. I'm going to go rushing yards for Saquon.
Wow.
I don't know if Riley Leonard gets to 150 in this game, and I think the chance of Saquon getting over 150 versus Riley Leonard getting over 150 is advantage Saquon.
And the last time Saquon ran against the Rams, Ooh. It was 26 carries for 255 yards. I can tell you quite confidently, Riley Leonard ain't going north of 255.
This is a great question. I got to go Saquon here.
That's your guy.
I got to go Saquon.
Nobody preseason texted us.
Question.
Nobody preseason texted us more about Saquon than Potsy.
I love
this
Saquon.
Guy. Would not shut up about him.
Dude was in jail for years in New York. Just we saw this coming, fellas.
You gotta support your guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna go Riley Leonard passing. I have to. Like, Riley Leonard can get to one. The idea that Saquon's going to go north of 150 every time he touches the field, I think Riley Leonard can get to 150. I'll take Riley Leonard passing, but I'll tell you, I don't feel good about it.
This was rushing yards, right?
That's
not total
one.
Yards?
Saquon rushing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Higher or lower? Riley Leonard rushing yards or total points scored in Commanders Lions?
I'm going to go
do some math real quick.
I'm going to go total points just because sacks go against your rushing yards in college.
It's a great call by you.
So, yeah, I think a couple sacks there pretty much will negate a good chunk of what Riley Leonard's going to do on the ground. So I'm going to go points in Commanders Lions.
I'm going to join Aki there. I'm going to take the total in that game instead of Leonard's rushing.
Just want to make sure I have the number right on what he ran for last week because Penn State's going to offer a similar challenge.
Ohio State?
Or Ohio State will offer a similar challenge that Penn State offered. It was 35 total yards for Riley Leonard on 18 carries, 1.9 per attempt. The sacks ding him so much. But I think it's an underplay
yes,
in Commanders Lions
at
55 and a half.
This is not a endorsement necessarily of that. It is more so a way that rushing yards are calculated. Like, he's only had one big rushing game in the playoff against Georgia. Outside of that, not a lot.
I'm going to be contrarian, try to pick up a win, and go Riley Leonard rushing yards. There's a good chance that I just get killed and you guys run away with this. Higher or lower, total Ohio State rush attempts or Will Howard pass attempts?
I think they'll try to run the rock. I'm going to go rushing attempts.
Rush attempts, yeah.
I'm going to go pass attempts.
If you're going pass attempts,
I know.
You take
Ohio State's winning the game
yards, though,
and
too.
Maybe comfortably.
I know it's a little on the contrarian side of where I think this is going.
I think you could craft up a pretty interesting parlay here.
Even in the Michigan game, he ended with, I think, 33 pass attempts because it got to a point where they had to throw the football late.
Yeah.
If it's that similar kind of rock fight and this is a 14-10 kind of game late, then they're going to ask Will Howard to throw the football, and that's where I think the number gets a little inflated at the end of the game. Now, if they just go blow them out, it'll be rush attempts. All right, final question. Over or under, 3.5 mentions of God in the winning quarterback's post-game on-field media availability.
Over. Alt-line, 5.5. Over.
So
Notre Dame's winning, right?
Riley Leonard, if it's Notre Dame, Riley Leonard's going to say it about 30 times.
Yeah.
I'm taking the
I'm
over.
I'm not going to lie, over. And I don't think it matters who wins the game.
I watched the Ohio State-Texas game with our director of marketing, Maggie Sketch, at a bar. And when the game ended and they went to Will Howard, she was standing next to me and she goes, he's going to thank God. He's going to thank God. He's going to thank God. Just wait. They put the mic on him. First, I'd like to thank God. And I'm going to go over.
I don't think it matters who wins the game.
3.5 may have been a light number.
For Notre Dame, yeah, it will be.
Well, for Notre Dame, I mean, yeah. I would have had to go to 34.5. If it's Riley Leonard, and it still might have been an over.
You're getting a full-on verse.
There you go.
All right,
that's,
good stuff.
That's, that was great. That's Shea's
that
Prop
awesome.
Shop.
Shea's Prop Shop. Novelty props for the national championship game. Good stuff there. Enjoyed that. When we come back, one of the crazier transfer portal stories hit this week. We'll discuss that. And also, we got to get to some Bill Belichick stuff as well, because Shea's got a thought of where he's going to be when once we get deeper into the summer. All that and more coming up next.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Now back to the show. Chicago's College Tailgate has it all with Shea and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
Last night, Shay and I had a great minds think alike moment, or maybe stupid minds think alike moment. You sent me an article. Midway while I was reading said article. And it's a story coming out of Wisconsin. Xavier Lucas is a defensive back, played for the Badgers, and has transferred to Miami. Here's a problem. He never entered the transfer portal. Just up and left, went to Miami. Now, there is some nuance to this. Xavier Lucas announced on social media last month that he was transferring. Like, season ended, I'm hitting the portal. He did the whole, like, graphic thing or whatever. But then, Wisconsin refused to let him enter the portal. What are we doing? What is going on? Why is this so difficult for teams?
Because there's no effing rules. It's been my problem with it the whole time. There's no rules around this anywhere. There's nothing to stop a player like Sluka at UNLV from opting out midseason during a dream season for UNLV. And boy, what a price he paid.
Now he's going to James Madison. Causing all that stir to go to James Madison.
There's nothing to stop a school from stepping in front of a kid and going, we're actually not going to let you enter the transfer portal. So now this guy has to unenroll from his school and then re-enroll in college at Miami. Can't just smooth transfer.
Which, according to the NCAA, that is okay.
Because there's no rules. There's no governing body. There's no, like, the NCAA is no longer the governing body of college football. The college football playoff is the governing body of college football. So you know what you got to do? Just admit something. Just finally admit something and rip the Band-Aid off of all of this and make it pro sports. We are separate from the NCAA. We are bigger. We make more money. This is the premium of collegiate athletics. And now the players get paid. We treat them like pros. So college football, get your own governing body, get a commissioner, start working on a way to do contracts and collectively bargain this, and just dive in. Because it's absurd.
It's gotten out of hand. Like, I don't understand why this is so difficult. Like, and this falls squarely on Wisconsin. Just let the kid enter the portal.
It's dumb. It's so dumb.
Like, what are you trying to protect here?
But there's nobody to stand there and say, you can't do this. And as far as the kids are operating without protection, like, I still have questions. Do we buy that an agent is operating in the best interests of an 18-year-old kid that doesn't know anything other than where's the biggest paycheck?
And not just that, but have you seen the percent cuts that some of these agents are taking?
Yeah.
Like, standard professional contract is what? Anywhere between, like, 3 and 5%, I believe. These guys are taking anywhere between 10 and 20%. That is ridiculous. Absolutely ludicrous that you're letting kids get in the hands of what largely seems like a group of bad actors and letting them take the cuts that they're taking. It is out of control. And you want to know what? It's going to even further get out of control here, too, because it seems like the end of these NIL collectives is coming, too, like within the next year or two. You're going to see all these teams just flush the money. You're going to see kids who have zero business making seven figures, because they just want to dump these collectives.
they got to spell this out to the letter and stop some of the gross stuff that's going on. Because I don't think that player agents are operating in the best interest of these kids a lot of times. I mean, you've got situations. Kendrick Perkins was offering to front cash in exchange for NIL payments from college athletes. Think about that. Here's $25,000 up front, mm-hmm. and you're going to give me X percent of your NIL earnings for the next 4 years. Like, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's not Kendrick Perkins making a business decision. That's a credit card loan. It's gross. Stop. Get a commissioner, get a real governing body, and spell this out to the letter.
Because mm-hmm. the thing that needs to get put under control isn't necessarily the NIL dollars. It's the transfer portal. You will solve a lot of what ails the NIL issues by just controlling the transfer portal. Because I think next year is going to get completely out of control. When you're going to see these programs dumping their NIL collectives because you're going to have revenue sharing coming to the sport sooner rather than later, you're going to start to see everybody moving. Like, college basketball and college football, the next transfer portal cycles, if you think it's been crazy these first couple of years, just wait. The next cycle is going to go nuts.
Yeah, and we're talking about 1,500 kids getting into the portal every year. Like I've told you, if it were me, I would set up a rule. You got to play 2 years at the school you commit to. You got to make it to be an upperclassman. Then you want to go do what you want to do? Go do what you want to do. We're also going to cap NIL for freshmen and sophomores. And then once we figure out what you are and what you want to do, we will give you the agency over where you want to go. But there has to be some idea of consequence. This idea that now college athletes, and it's not, I'm not blaming this kid at Wisconsin. It's on Wisconsin, but it's both sides are operating in bad faith. And there has to be some idea that, like, if Wisconsin signs a player as a freshman, comes in, and he just blows, not what they thought they were getting, and they kick him to the curb, hit the portal, you're going elsewhere. No, you signed him, you scouted him, you recruited him, you got to pay the price for a couple years. Same thing for the player. If a freshman goes to Michigan State, I'll use my school as the punching bag here, and they have an incredible freshman season, and they get an offer from Georgia and want to go down there for the rest of their career. Dude, you signed on at Michigan State. You got to play ball where you sign on for two seasons. And once you hit upperclassman status, if you want to hit the bricks, hit them. Do what you want to do.
I would slightly alter that. Mine would be, I would take the transfer portal and I would say you get one. You get one move. The only way you're getting an exception for a second move is if your coach leaves. That's the only way. Head coach leaves, you can get an extra one. But other than that, you get one transfer. You get one time. That's it.
Why not both? You get one transfer and you got to wait till you're a junior.
I'm not as married to that idea.
Part of it for me is the idea that you can build a program anywhere anymore is just flawed to me. Like, it's so difficult with the, you might recruit a 3-star freshman who's a 5-star in the portal, gone. That's brutal. You can't build a program. And it hurts fans because if you're a fan of a university that gets a kid who's like a 3-star freshman and he becomes a 5-star portal player, you're excited. You have that guy for the next couple seasons. This doesn't even happen in pro sports. Like, imagine in pro sports you draft, say the Lions draft Sam Laporta last year, and Laporta has this almost record-breaking season as a rookie, and he goes, well, I think I want to play in Kansas City now. Like, that would just be crazy. You can't be that way.
Yeah, maybe NIL has to come down to more contracts, too.